Okay, zap. There you are. All I want to do is just a simp. Well, hold your breath and you can do that. You came to play. Surprise everybody, you came here to play with me. And so I have a big game.
The operative word is play.
Play.
We contracted to play.
It beats Nintendo. We have a whole diversification of games, all leading to the big one. But we have to love one another. We have to be kind to one another. Because those are the traits that allow people to grow. You cannot allow your own anger, whatever you're feeling at the moment, to put a child down. You may get control for the moment. You are not gaining in love. You may gain in some respect if you don't let them get away with it. But without love and nurturing, you've just lost a kid. They're going to go somewhere where they're accepted. And old man, horny toad, always makes them feel accepted somewhere. You know, just put a hole through your tongue and put a little silver ball on there and pierce your eyes and, oh, you'll fit in. Now, isn't that intelligent? The same ones who cannot stand a little acid blister on their tongue drill holes through it. To show who? Parents usually, first. And then the nation, and then God. I will show God. I will drill holes and hang fish hooks everywhere in his name. Look how wonderful that is to come into manliness by hanging fish hooks through your chest, through your back, and swinging from a pole. Now, isn't that intelligence for you? And what have you done? You've altered your mind so that you can do these silly things. Everybody wants to alter their mind. Why don't you try living? That's the greatest alteration there is. And it makes you feel good about yourself. And upon that last lash of the whip, I'm going to go. We're going to win, and I'm tired of losing. It's getting old. This particular part of the game is getting very old. Very boring. But we're having to find out who around this globe wants really to do something. And you see, the most apropos ones to do something, and I should, never mind, I lied, I'm not going to go. Go read Emmanuel. Where he said, in 500 years, on the day of his terrible altercation in the courts, he said, in 500 years, there will be one who will come along. And he, Mr. Pharisee, will be your doom. Until your dying day, you will rue the day that you did these things. And his name will be Muhammad. And you will be very sorry. Does that mean Muhammad is going to be the true religious leader, the true religion? No. You got Hindus and you've got all sorts of things. But you see, most of these, quote, religions are based on a Christ type of teaching. It all gets smeared and it all gets pulled away. So no, it will not be the end of all ends. It will also develop into something humongous. And that word in itself means a magnificently large human undertaking. There are so many more Muslims than even so-called Christians as to boggle your mind. Something like 1,000 or more to 1. And they are so rigidly entrenched in their face the east and chant the verses that they become more dangerous to you than anything. Because they will also march to that drumbeat of the leader. And if he says go into a holy jihad, we will all go and give our lives. For what? Oh, I don't know. But it sounds good. For God, of course. Yes, God never asks you to give anything of the sort. He doesn't ask you to die. He asks you to live. Because God, dying takes nothing. Living takes guts. So if you want to say, God, with Isaac and Jacob and all of these, and take your son up on the mountain and threaten to kill him with his knife, do you really think God would do that? Suggest you do something so unlawful and immoral? Stop it. God saved him just as he raised the knife. Bullshit. God would never have sent you on such an immoral venture. Well, does that mean the Bible's wrong? You're damn right. It's wrong. You would terrorize your own child by putting him on the altar and binding him down while you threaten him with a knife to cut out his heart? That's a God? No. And when you buy into that and you try to make excuses and say, oh, but the angels were there and they weren't going to let this... Bullshit! It is the entire wrong concept. And then you blame God for it. For this lust for blood. What is wrong with you people? That you lust after blood till you have to kill everything. God creates. He does not kill. And when you learn that you are co-creator, you will learn to give up this insanity and take up your power and you will start to create. And your world will become instantly better. And I'm not sent here to do it. You're sent here to do it. I can only hold your hand and make sure that you're allowed to do it. But nobody even knows me will count your blessings. Do you think Billy Graham's going to do it? Maybe Jimmy Swaggart? How about Jimmy Baker? No. You have to do it. We have to provide a little bit of a way. That's all. People are beginning to wake up. Stop believing the bullshit. Stop trying to turn a passage in the Bible into something worthy. It wasn't worthy when it was put there. And if you can't interpret it as worthy, then you don't believe it anyway. Quit trying to find that Noah had every animal of every kind on an ark, on a little boat. I don't care how big the cubits are. It's ridiculous. It is a ridiculous concept. That God's not brighter than that. It's an insult to God, all of these supposedly parables that are told. And somebody says, well, it would be like if Jonah swallowed, or a whale swallowed Jonah. I think maybe Jonah tried to swallow the whale and got a real bad headache. 3 days in the darkness in the belly of this whale. Don't you think maybe he would have been digested and passed out as whale crap? I mean, really? But it was a miracle. No, it's a stupid story. Even a rainbow is not a miracle. It's a refraction of light through raindrop crystals. But we don't want to ruin the rainbow because it can also be the promise of God to your heart. And enjoy it in the beauty. You don't have to analyze it. You don't have to analyze a television to turn it on and get a picture. But then you have to start thinking once you got the picture. Because you have to get the picture. And they fooled you a long, long time. And some things you just can't let go of. And I understand it. Because you need a concept. If you want to be a Christian and all your life you've been taught that that started somewhere, in some place, in a manger, what is going to be your traditional practice and your cultural expression? Do you have to look at the little doll that represents the little creche and lie to yourself? No. You honor the thought of the Creator's gift. And know that the Creator's gift has been now commercialized. Am I saying don't celebrate cultures and traditions? I absolutely am not. When else are you going to be nice? No. You don't have to lie to yourself. You lie to your children. Teeth fairies. No. A child grows up, his teeth fall out. He has two sets. He has more than that, but he's told he only has two. And so you grow into old age, and if another one grows in, you'll make sure it falls out. Here's a good witness. The tooth fell out, finally. We started growing another one. And when it broke the skin, my God, there was panic. And this woman here, who doesn't trust me, spent 2 years making that one fall out. Until one day it fell out. She pulled it out. Everybody with me? But ordinarily, a human being has two sets of tooth buds. One to suit the child in its early years, and one to suit an adult. You could have a set to suit your old age, but most of you have preferred to gum it or replace it with dentures. And if you were growing another set of teeth under those dentures, bitch, moan, and complain. Hurts. So you'll go to the dentist and ask him to dig it out. And he'll do a few more root canals. Put a little more mercury and stuff in your mouth to make sure that you're going to die before anybody's noticed that you have another set of teeth. And that's life. You are what you are taught. That's all you can be. And yet each of you has this knowledge and this longing to be productive. And to be a part of something worthy. Because you know you're better than whatever there is. Or you will give up and say, well, I just guess there's nothing else. There's always something else. Some of you would find, if you turned your talents to it, to reflect the very soul of you. Oh, I never even could handle a crayon. I didn't say you had to go draw with a crayon that you can't handle. Look around you and see what else is beautiful that you might present. Della can write a beautiful story in just a few words. It's called poetry. But a poem, just because it rhymes, is not poetry. True poetry comes from the soul. and reflects that which means something to the being, or it doesn't have a flippin' bit of meaning. If Mr. Dolly's art reflected himself, do you see the problem? And when you paint a bunch of tin cans, as in the modern art, have you created a piece of art? You've reflected a bunch of tin cans that clutter your world. A beautiful painting, like a beautiful song or a beautiful piece of poetry, is that which reflects the goodness within self and allows it to blossom. All the rest is graffiti upon a perfect world. Hold it in your heart. And when you say, well, I just don't paint and I don't write and I don't you? Who told you you could not? I can't carry a tune, so I can't sing. I don't know grammar very well, so I can't speak. What you're saying is, I dare not reflect what I think of myself. And I want you to think about that very hard. Because what I'm asking you to express is God. Because that's what you are. And if you cannot express it, even in your fumbling childish ways, to grow into your ability to reflect that beauty which you are, oh my, the loss is yours. And the loss to the world is so great. You don't have to push it on anybody else. A little bit of isinglass carved into something, easeled on a piece of wood, a walnut hull polished, a gift from someone who has woven some material and made you something. That's love expressed. And maybe $1 million would be the value. But these things have no price. Those are the gifts you give to God. You may say, oh no, I just sent a card over to Dorma. No. These expressions of self, I don't care where they go, are the gifts, little, big, doesn't matter. Those are the gifts you offer God. That little bit of yourself in love. And maybe you don't understand it, and maybe the receiver doesn't understand it. You are wonderful. You really have to work at making yourself lesser. Stop it. You're wonderful. You radiate it, and then you try to pull it back. You are priceless. And the very fact that you gather to do something worthwhile, even if you can't yet find exactly what it is, tells you you're wonderful. You don't have to be here. You do not have to be here. You come because you either want to or feel you should, or whatever reason brings you here. Because you don't have to. And if you go do something else during this meeting, nobody's going to. What is this? A summoning to the crown? No. And a lot of it you can pick up from somebody else who attended the meeting. Sometimes it pays to be there, because then you're not getting just an interpretation. You can go make your own wrong interpretations, you know. and one say, well, if you people would just, if you'd take advertising, if you would charge at the door, for what? Nobody here wants to put on a show. For what? You already do that other places and it doesn't work. And preachers stand up and lie to you. I call that just about as bad as you can get. And then you pay for it. If we have to close, we close. It doesn't mean for one moment that I'm going anywhere else. So two or three of us meet on the side of the hill. But no, it's not like Maharishi out there underneath the tree in Ojai. God can meet in the basement. God meets you every time you sit down or breathe. We're not going to slap some doctrines on this. Truth needs no doctrines. It needs to be without them. So you're not going to get any doctrines from this resource. You've got the same guidelines I have. And I didn't make them up. Surprisingly enough, the godness of humankind structured those good commandments. And then tried to stick a few things in there, you know, like tithing and Sundays and so forth. Well, when you have Christians who would have Monday be your Sunday, and the Jewish people who would have Saturday be the Sabbath, what have you done? You have only created doctrines that separate you further. So you're not going to get doctrines from me. Do I expect good behavior from everybody who goes and says my name? You better believe it. That's what I would like, but I don't require it. Your opinion is your business. It's not mine. I would hope that you would grow into always having the kinds of opinions that are readily understood as good. But you may express any kind of opinion you wish about me. On the other hand, I don't know why you would waste your time to be near anybody who is near to me if you don't like us. What is this? I have invited you to dinner, you come to eat, and then you leave and you complain about dinner. That's okay if you didn't like it. But you didn't have to go to dinner in the first place just to insult the cook. And that's what God will always offer you. And all of those choices, in a world of choices, are yours. And God will just smile at you while he watches you make your choices. And he will not condemn. Sometimes he won't condone, but he will always forgive because he knows you're going to learn before it's over. So it's really good not to set yourself up as a knowledgeable know-it-all. Let it unfold. Because the biggest fool is the one who makes himself a fool, because nobody else can make you into a fool. A gift unaccepted is no gift. Who does it belong to? It still belongs to the receiver. So if you heap abuse and complaint and ill behavior upon another, and that one refuses to accept it, you're going to get it back full whack in your face. It'll just bounce off. And if you wait long enough, you see these cycles close while it gets right back there to bounce in your face. Only the point is, you will be outside watching it. So be careful how you project yourself. I am a big know-it-all. That'll get you into a lot of trouble. You can always know more than Hatton. with my blessings. But don't try to run my business with it, if you follow my line of thought. When we are established and there are businesses to be run, then's when you perform. But you better perform upon the professor's lessons. Because the first person who takes over an agency for corporations and does it wrong, I'm going to stomp you. Not if you do it in your name, but if you do it in my name and say, Hatton told me to do this, you better be very sure you've perceived correctly. God said, don't take my name in vain, you little chicken turkeys. Because it's only going to reflect yourself. And if you want to be laughed at, you just continue to give them something to laugh at. Or you will back off this crazy nonsense and shield yourself from that. You can have a relationship with God to surpass anything you've ever known. And you never have to mention E.T. And we'll get around to talking about Atom if we ever get through the trash. Because you're going to find that there are Atoms of this world. There are gods of creation. Ultimately, only one source. But everyone has to work with something they can trace enough to identify. And those are the things that are projected in the thought of God to allow you to grow. And me to grow. Well, isn't that a contradiction in statements? Isn't everything? Okay, Zach. There you are. All I want to do is just ascend. Well, hold your breath, and you can do that. You came to play. Surprise everybody, you came here to play with me. And so I have a big game.
The operative word is play.
Play.
We contracted to play.
It beats Nintendo. We have a whole diversification of games, all leading to the big one. But we have to love one another. We have to be kind to one another. Because those are the traits that allow people to grow. You cannot allow your own anger, whatever you're feeling at the moment, to put a child down. You may get control for the moment. You are not gaining in love. You may gain in some respect if you don't let them get away with it. But without love and nurturing, you've just lost a kid. They're going to go somewhere where they're accepted. And old man, horny toad, always makes them feel accepted somewhere. You know, just put a hole through your tongue and put a little silver ball on there and pierce your eyes and, oh, you'll fit in. Now, isn't that intelligent? The same ones who cannot stand a little acid blister on their tongue drill holes through it. To show who? Parents usually, first. And then the nation, and then God. I will show God. I will drill holes and hang fish hooks everywhere in his name. Look how wonderful that is to come into manliness by hanging fish hooks through your chest, through your back, and swinging from a pole. Now, isn't that intelligence for you? And what have you done? You've altered your mind so that you can do these silly things. Everybody wants to alter their mind. Why don't you try living? That's the greatest alteration there is. And it makes you feel good about yourself. And upon that last lash of the whip, I'm going to go. We're going to win, and I'm tired of losing. It's getting old. This particular part of the game is getting very old. Very boring. But we're having to find out who around this globe wants really to do something. And you see, the most apropos ones to do something, and I should, never mind, I lied, I'm not going to go. Go read Emmanuel, where he said, in 500 years, on the day of his terrible altercation in the courts, he said, in 500 years, there will be one who will come along, and he, Mr. Pharisee, will be your doom. Until your dying day, you will rue the day that you did these things. And his name will be Muhammad. And you will be very sorry. Does that mean Muhammad is going to be the true religious leader, the true religion? No. You got Hindus and you've got all sorts of things. But you see, most of these, quote, religions are based on a Christ type of teaching. It all gets smeared and it all gets pulled away. So no, it will not be the end of all ends. It will also develop into something humongous. And that word in itself means a magnificently large human undertaking. There are so many more Muslims than even so-called Christians is to boggle your mind. Something like 1,000 or more to 1. And they are so rigidly entrenched in their face the east and chant the verses that they become more dangerous to you than anything. Because they will also march to that drumbeat of the leader. And if he says go into a holy jihad, we will all go and give our lives. For what? Oh, I don't know. But it sounds good. For God, of course. Yes, God never asks you to give anything of the sort. He doesn't ask you to die. He asks you to live. Because God, dying takes nothing. Living takes guts. So if you want to say, God, with Isaac and Jacob and all of these, and take your son up on the mountain and threaten to kill him with his knife. Do you really think God would do that? Suggest you do something so unlawful and immoral? Stop it. God saved him just as he raised the knife. Bullshit. God would never have sent you on such an immoral venture. Well, does that mean the Bible's wrong? You damn right. It's wrong. You would terrorize your own child by putting him on the altar and binding him down while you threaten him with a knife to cut out his heart? That's a God? No. And when you buy into that and you try to make excuses and say, oh, but the angels were there and they weren't going to let this... Bullshit! It is the entire wrong concept. And then you blame God for it. For this lust for blood. What is wrong with you people? That you lust after blood till you have to kill everything. God creates, he does not kill. And when you learn that you are co-creator, you will learn to give up this insanity and take up your power, and you will start to create. And your world will become instantly better. And I'm not sent here to do it. You're sent here to do it. I can only hold your hand and make sure that you're allowed to do it. But nobody even knows me will count your blessings. Do you think Billy Graham's going to do it? Maybe Jimmy Swaggart? How about Jimmy Baker? No. You have to do it. We have to provide a little bit of a way. That's all. People are beginning to wake up. Stop believing the bullshit. Stop trying to turn a passage in the Bible into something worthy. It wasn't worthy when it was put there. And if you can't interpret it as worthy, then you don't believe it anyway. Quit trying to find that Noah had every animal of every kind on an ark, on a little boat. I don't care how big the cubits are. It's ridiculous. It is a ridiculous concept. But God's not brighter than that. It's an insult to God, all of these supposedly parables that are told. And somebody says, well, it would be like if Jonah swallowed, or a whale swallowed Jonah. I think maybe Jonah tried to swallow the whale and got a real bad headache. 3 days in the darkness in the belly of this whale. Don't you think maybe he would have been digested and passed out as whale crap? I mean, really? But it was a miracle. No, it's a stupid story. Even a rainbow is not a miracle. It's a refraction of light through raindrop crystals. But we don't want to ruin the rainbow because it can also be the promise of God to your heart. And enjoy it in the beauty. You don't have to analyze it. You don't have to analyze a television to turn it on and get a picture. But then you have to start thinking once you got the picture. Because you have to get the picture. And they fooled you a long, long time. And some things you just can't let go of. And I understand it. Because you need a concept. If you want to be a Christian and all your life you've been taught that that started somewhere, in some place, in a manger, what is going to be your traditional practice and your cultural expression? Do you have to look at the little doll that represents the little creche and lie to yourself? No. You honor the thought of the Creator's gift. And know that the Creator's gift has been now commercialized. Am I saying don't celebrate cultures and traditions? I absolutely am not. When else are you going to be nice? No. You don't have to lie to yourself. You lie to your children. Teeth fairies. No. A child grows up, his teeth fall out. He has two sets. He has more than that, but he's told he only has two. And so you grow into old age, and if another one grows in, you'll make sure it falls out. Here's a good witness. The tooth fell out, finally. We started growing another one. And when it broke the skin, my God, there was panic. And this woman here, who doesn't trust me, spent 2 years making that one fall out. Until one day it fell out. She pulled it out. Everybody with me? But ordinarily, a human being has two sets of tooth buds. One to suit the child in its early years, and one to suit an adult. You could have a set to suit your old age, but most of you have preferred to gum it or replace it with dentures. And if you were growing another set of teeth under those dentures, bitch, moan, and complain. Hurts. So you'll go to the dentist and ask him to dig it out. And he'll do a few more root canals. Put a little more mercury and stuff in your mouth to make sure that you're going to die before anybody's noticed that you have another set of teeth. And that's life. You are what you are taught. That's all you can be. And yet each of you has this knowledge and this longing to be productive and to be a part of something worthy, because you know you're better than whatever there is. Or you will give up and say, well, I just guess there's nothing else. There's always something else. Some of you would find, if you turned your talents to it, to reflect the very soul of you. Oh, I never even could handle a crayon. I didn't say you had to go draw with a crayon that you can't handle. Look around you and see what else is beautiful that you might present. Della can write a beautiful story in just a few words. It's called poetry. But a poem, just because it rhymes, is not poetry. True poetry comes from the soul and reflects that which means something to the being, or it doesn't have a flippin' bit of meaning. If Mr. Dolly's art reflected himself, do you see the problem? And when you paint a bunch of tin cans, as in the modern art, have you created a piece of art? You've reflected a bunch of tin cans that clutter your world. A beautiful painting, like a beautiful song or a beautiful piece of poetry, is that which reflects the goodness within self and allows it to blossom. All the rest is graffiti upon a perfect world. Hold it in your heart. And when you say, well, I just don't paint and I don't write and I don't you? Who told you you could not? I can't carry a tune, so I can't sing. I don't know grammar very well, so I can't speak. What you're saying is, I dare not reflect what I think of myself. And I want you to think about that very hard. Because what I'm asking you to express is God. Because that's what you are. And if you cannot express it, even in your fumbling childish ways, to grow into your ability to reflect that beauty which you are, oh my, the loss is yours. And the loss to the world is so great. You don't have to push it on anybody else. A little bit of isinglass carved into something, easeled on a piece of wood, a walnut hull polished, a gift from someone who has woven some material and made you something. That's love expressed. and maybe $1 million would be the value. But these things have no price. Those are the gifts you give to God. You may say, oh no, I just sent a card over to Dorma. No. These expressions of self, I don't care where they go, are the gifts, little, big, doesn't matter. Those are the gifts you offer God. That little bit of yourself in love. And maybe you don't understand it, and maybe the receiver doesn't understand it. You are wonderful. You really have to work at making yourself lesser. Stop it. You're wonderful. You radiate it, and then you try to pull it back. You are priceless. And the very fact that you gather to do something worthwhile, even if you can't yet find exactly what it is, tells you you're wonderful. You don't have to be here. You do not have to be here. You come because you either want to or feel you should, or whatever reason brings you here. Because you don't have to. And if you go do something else during this meeting, nobody's going to. What is this? A summoning to the crown? No. And a lot of it you can pick up from somebody else who attended the meeting. Sometimes it pays to be there, because then you're not getting just an interpretation. You can go make your own wrong interpretations, you know. And one say, well, if you people would just, if you'd take advertising, if you would charge at the door, for what? Nobody here wants to put on a show. For what? You already do that other places and it doesn't work. And preachers stand up and lie to you. I call that just about as bad as you can get. And then you pay for it. If we have to close, we close. It doesn't mean for one moment that I'm going anywhere else. So two or three of us meet on the side of the hill. But no, it's not like Maharishi out there underneath the tree in Ojai. God can meet in the basement. God meets you every time you sit down or breathe. We're not going to slap some doctrines on this. Truth needs no doctrines. It needs to be without them. So you're not going to get any doctrines from this resource. You've got the same guidelines I have. And I didn't make them up. Surprisingly enough, the godness of humankind structured those good commandments and then tried to stick a few things in there, you know, like tithing and Sundays and so forth. Well, when you have Christians who would have Monday be your Sunday and the Jewish people who would have Saturday be the Sabbath, what have you done? You have only created doctrines that separate you further. So you're not going to get doctrines from me. Do I expect good behavior from everybody who goes and says my name? You better believe it. That's what I would like, but I don't require it. Your opinion is your business. It's not mine. I would hope that you would grow into always having the kinds of opinions that are readily understood as good. But you may express any kind of opinion you wish about me. On the other hand, I don't know why you would waste your time to be near anybody who is near to me if you don't like us. What is this? I have invited you to dinner, you come to eat, and then you leave and you complain about dinner. That's okay if you didn't like it. But you didn't have to go to dinner in the first place just to insult the cook. And that's what God will always offer you. And all of those choices, in a world of choices, are yours. And God will just smile at you while he watches you make your choices. And he will not condemn. Sometimes he won't condone, but he will always forgive because he knows you're going to learn before it's over. So it's really good not to set yourself up as a knowledgeable know-it-all. Let it unfold. Because the biggest fool is the one who makes himself a fool, because nobody else can make you into a fool. A gift unaccepted is no gift. Who does it belong to? It still belongs to the receiver. So if you heap abuse and complaint and ill behavior upon another, and that one refuses to accept it, you're going to get it back full whack in your face. It'll just bounce off. And if you wait long enough, you see these cycles close while it gets right back there to bounce in your face. Only the point is, you will be outside watching it. So be careful how you project yourself. I am a big know-it-all. That'll get you into a lot of trouble. You can always know more than that, Tom, with my blessings. But don't try to run my business with it, if you follow my line of thought. When we are established and there are businesses to be run, then's when you perform. But you better perform upon the professor's lessons. Because the first person who takes over an agency for corporations and does it wrong, I'm going to stomp you. Not if you do it in your name, but if you do it in my name and say, Hatton told me to do this, you better be very sure you've perceived correctly. God said, don't take my name in vain, you little chicken turkeys. Because it's only going to reflect yourself. And if you want to be laughed at, you just continue to give them something to laugh at. Or you will back off this crazy nonsense and shield yourself from that. You can have a relationship with God to surpass anything you've ever known. And you never have to mention E.T. And we'll get around to talking about Atom if we ever get through the trash. Because you're going to find that there are atoms of this world. There are gods of creation. Ultimately, only one source. But everyone has to work with something they can trace enough to identify. And those are the things that are projected in the thought of God to allow you to grow. And me to grow. Well, isn't that a contradiction in statements? Isn't everything?